Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Just a reminder, this for Wednesday night, we're going to have a party. So if you like ice cream, if you like to make sundaes, come here, and we're going to enjoy some time together. That night, we're also going to give you kind of a snippet of the different studies that are going on, so that you just kind of the commercial and let you see what's happening there. I will tell you that something that's kind of cool, ladies. You know, usually there is a charge. We just, whatever the books cost, we just ask you to help out with it. But someone has anonymously donated the money to cover the women's study books this time. So that's a gift to you all from the Lord. And so if you have never taken a part in one of those studies before, maybe this is the time, because it's a gift has been given to you. They're going to use the Chosen series. If you watch that, it's a pretty amazing series on the life of Christ. That'll be kind of the kickoff for the study. So it's going to be a good time, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. Let's pray. Lord, thanks. Just really appreciate the worship songs, that reminder of how much you love us. And Lord, just your word, the time to be in it together, and the wisdom, the simplicity of scriptures as you help us examine our own lives. And Lord, you use it to protect us. This passage we're going to use today, look at today especially, is one that can really help us watch out and not head down paths that are going to be destructive. So just with all that said, we just ask for you to use your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and help us to be receptive to your word. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. If you've been a part in between the services, in between the first service and the second service, we have an adult community. If you've never been a part of that, I'd encourage you to jump in. It's always a good discussion. Right now, they're working their way through Psalm 119, which is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, just full of good counsel. One of the things, if you've been in that class, you probably heard Christoph tells about how when his kids were younger, and not even younger, this is recently I've heard him do this, but when they've made one of those dumb decisions, you know, when it would really be easy to chastise them and maybe make them, you know, they already feel bad, but let's lay it on thicker. But he has something he's done over the years. And what he'll do is he'll simply say to them, good decision or bad decision. And in a process of trying to help them get this pattern of thinking things through, maybe before they make the decision, you know, is this a good decision or a bad decision? But I feel like it's a really good practice, because all of us have made those decisions that we're saying, oh no, that was a bad decision. I know we have those, at least maybe I should speak for myself. I definitely have those moments in my life where I go, I should have thought that one through a little bit more. That was a dumb purchase, or that was the wrong road to head down. And this is all pertains to what we're going to go to this morning. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We've been camping there for a couple of weeks now. So if you want to get there in your devices, your Bibles, that's what we're going to look at. And Solomon is going to, and remember, we're walking through, this is a journal. Solomon is recording observations that he has made regarding life as a very wise man, as a man that the Bible says was the wisest to have, at least up to that point, to ever have walked the face of earth. And he is looking, and he's looking especially from a perspective, especially as we got into the beginning of what does life look like if we push God out of the picture, if we pretend that he doesn't exist, if we try to live our life apart from accountability to him, or apart from looking to him for guidance. What does life look like? And so we've been walking through, and he's giving us observations and as we've walked through all these chapters. And this morning, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to give us some observations. We had once a month, the elders and myself, we get together for breakfast and just spend some time fellowshipping and visiting together. And we were talking, yesterday morning was our breakfast, and we're talking about the hindsight 2020. We've all made that statement, which is basically saying, you know, if I could know now what I knew then, I would have made a different decision or another decision because looking back, it's all the pieces are there, and it's like, oh, that's what I should have done. That's what I should have said. And basically, that's where Solomon, in the middle of the section we're looking at together today, that's basically what he says. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. He's saying hindsight's better is 2020. After the matter's over, then we look back and we go, oh, yeah, that's how I should have done it. That's how what I should have said. That's the direction I should have gone. Those words come out of your mouth and they're out there and you're thinking, oh man, I wish I would have thought that through before I said that. Years ago, Mary and I used to speak every year at these conferences for this group called Christian Women's Club. Maybe you've heard them. That's a worldwide group, but they have these big conferences in throughout the year, and we used to be asked to speak at least one a year. And one year we were speaking at the largest one that we ever were at. It was down in southern Florida, a couple thousand women, and I'm speaking, I'm sharing bits and pieces of my testimony. I'm talking about one of the churches that my dad, or one of the towns my dad went to minister, and we just moved into town, and it was my first day of school, and I'm telling this story. My first day of school, and I'm on the playground, and Josh was sharing last week about figuring out who the bullies are, or who's connected to. Well, it was pretty easy to figure out who the bullies were at the playground. These two brothers, Rusty and Randy, still remember their name, made an impression. I was a new kid, which typically that's bully target practice, and so I had a rough time on the playground, and then I was telling how I was walking home after school, and I had to cross a bridge to get to where my house was, and I get to the other side of the bridge, and I look down the stairs, and down at the bottom of the stairs, waiting for me were Rusty and Randy, and what I was, when I was talking, I'm talking to all these women, and what I meant to say was, I recognized those two boys from the playground. What I did say was, I recognized those two boys from Playboy. I said that to 2,000 women, and then hoped that they weren't listening, but they were. They started laughing. I lost it. That was the crowd. They took them forever to get calmed back down, and I took a lot of ribbing that weekend as we spoke. But you know, those words come out of your mouth, you're thinking, oh, geez, I wish my brain had been in action better before I said that and before that came out. But that's the kind of things we're talking about, is those things that we look back on and we say, oh, in hindsight, I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have said it that way. And then what Solomon is going to do is he's going to take this conversation, this thought process, a little farther, and he's going to identify what he says are patterns of foolish people. And so we're going to go, and it's not going to be an inclusive list, but he's going to identify some patterns, and I'm going to ask you not to raise your hand if you see yourself in these patterns, but just let God's word help you think through this. And interesting, in the same verse, and we're going to jump back in a moment, but the same verse, he identifies a kind of a key element of patterns of foolishness, and it's in the end of the verse where he says, patience is better than pride. He says, a key element of foolishness is pride and arrogance often. It's interesting, the Bible says that the key reason for Satan's rebellion and his fall was arrogance, pride, thinking more highly of himself than he ought. So Solomon says that's a key ingredient of what often becomes foolishness, because we are in a pattern and we are foolish enough to think that we're smarter than God about these things, and that I have a reason to do this, to be this way, and it keeps us there instead of letting God work on our hearts. But anyway, so we're going to look at some patterns that he says identify individual as a foolish individual. At least this aspect of their life is foolish. It has this foolish pattern. And this all wraps around two words, wise or fool. And so that's what we're going to identify, is what does wisdom look like? Or more so, when we get to it, what does wisdom do for us? And then what are some patterns of foolishness, of knowing that I'm on a foolish path right now in my life? So he starts off, we're going to go back up out now to verse 5, and he starts off with kind of some general advice in verse 5. He said, it is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to this song of fools. And he's identifying a pattern here, but it's a comparison. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we were looking previously at the comparison, and he gave us some pretty strange comparisons where we were kind of like, that doesn't make sense. It's better to be at a funeral home than to be at a fine restaurant. And we're saying, nah, I don't think so. But then he explained it, and he said the reason for that statement is because we all will face death at some point. Death is the destiny of all men. And we're probably not going to sit at a fine restaurant eating good food, thinking to ourselves, you know, I might not get to see tomorrow. Am I ready for the day I'm going to stand before my Maker? But at funerals, we have a tendency to be kind of face-to-face with our own mortality. And that's a good place to be, he says, because we need to face that. We need to make sure I'm ready for that day. And so that's the big question. But here he's doing another comparison, and he says, and he does this comparison. He says, a wise person would rather sit in a situation where he's being rebuked by a wise man than he would going to a Taylor Swift concert, all right? Or whatever it may be. He's saying, you know, let's say you had the opportunity. You have a friend that comes and says, I need to talk to you. And you know, because you've made some foolish decisions recently, you know what he wants to talk to you about. And you know it's not going to be an easy conversation. But if you're smart, you also know it's a necessary conversation. But then you have another friend, same day, comes and says, hey, I got tickets to Taylor Swift concert tonight. Want to go with me? He says, a wise man says, I don't want to hear about another one of Taylor Swift's boyfriends, so we'll skip that. Sorry, Swifties out there. But a wise person says, no, I need this conversation, even though it's going to be hard. A foolish person is always looking. In fact, he goes on. He kind of makes adds a second part to that. He says, the crackling of thorns, a foolish person is like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. He says, you know, a foolish person, here's a pattern. They're just after a good time. I just want a good time. I want to be happy. They, you know, everything's a joke. Everything's about having fun. And he says, you probably know a person like that. You know, there is a news panel that Mary and I watch pretty much every day, and we enjoy them because they're talking about current world events, and you're getting a number of different people jumping in and giving their perspective, and it kind of helps you think through. At least helps me think through perspective. But there's one guy in the panel that I almost can't stand, and I don't know him, but I can't stand him. And my wife will say, well, what do you really feel about him? Because I usually have to say something. I just can't. But here's why. It's because they're talking about a very serious subject, and he always makes a joke about it or some coarse innuendo out of it. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, take it seriously. This is not funny what you're talking about here. But you know people like that. But he says that's a pattern of foolishness. I'm just out for the party. I'm out for the good time. That's what my life to be about is, you know, one joke after another, and it may be fun to be around them for a little while, but not very long. And he says, if you make them your goal or your regular connection, that's foolishness too. So he says, there's a pattern. And then he says, the thing about that is that kind of a person, He says they're kind of like a crackling of thorns under a pot. It became kind of like trying to gather. You need to heat up some stew, and so to do that, you gather a tumbleweed. Well, if you've ever lit a tumbleweed on fire, you know it's gone. It's not going to heat up anything. He says that's these kind of people that everything's a joke. That's what it's like. They really have no benefit. They're just foolish because there are serious things in life, and there are times where you need to take things seriously. So there's a pattern. So gives us another one. He says another pattern of a foolish person. He says extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. He says here's another pattern of foolishness, and I think what he's saying is it's trying to take shortcuts to wealth, riches. Mary Lynn and I used to know a man a very intelligent man. Honestly, he was one of the smartest men I have known, and I feel like if had he gone down the right path, he probably would be a multimillionaire today. But he didn't, because his goal in life was a shortcut, and he was really smart. So, but he was always looking for the get rich quick setup, you know, and because of that, he was getting in trouble. He would get wealthy people to invest in this idea he had, and it was because he's smart and it was a good idea. Probably would have worked had he followed it through, but that was never his plan. His plan was get their money and run, and he did that over and over again. His family more than once had to get up in the middle of the night and pack up the house and head out of the state because they were on to him. And he ended up his life in poverty and spent a portion of his adult life in prison. And you're looking and saying, he could have done so much. But he was a fool. He was a fool. And he says, that's a pattern of a foolish individual. It's all about money. It's always about a quick way to get to it. It's always about I want now, this sense of entitlement. I shouldn't have to wait. I should be able to have what I want now, and I don't want to have to work hard for it. There should be a quick and easy way to get there. And you've known people like that. I have too. I don't know if I told this at church before, but a number of years ago I met with a guy, and he said he wanted to ask if he could meet me. And I said sure. And, well, come to find out, as well as conversation with, you know, I can tell you how you can make a whole lot of money. You know, here's, if you'll invest with me on this thing, he says, let me tell you, he says, Paul, by 6 months from now, you're going to have a Mercedes parked out in front of your car. Well, here's the hilarious thing, and I couldn't help but say it. I said, well, why are you driving that piece of junk then? He had it was barely on the, and I'm thinking, but that's a foolish pattern is, I want a shortcut. There's easy money out there. It's a fast way. That's not the pattern of wisdom. Does it happen sometimes? It does, but rarely. As much as there are people out there that are standing in line right now across the street because they think if I get the right numbers, I'm going to be very wealthy. Man, rarely happens. And it's foolishness to constantly look that direction. And he says that's one of the patterns to watch out for, this get-rich-quick scheme. That's foolishness. He goes on. Another pattern of foolishness. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. He says another pattern of a foolish person is a quick temper. He says it's like they're carrying fire on their lap, you know, and it's going to burst at any moment. And not only consume them, but it's going to consume everyone in close radius. He says that is a pattern of foolishness. They are run by their emotions. You never know what's going to happen. It keeps them constantly in trouble or trying to backtrack from decisions they've made in the moment of anger. And he says, and that's a pattern. We have, you know, how much do we see this today? That people are consumed by this anger, and they're making, and you're sitting there, and they're making these foolish decisions, and you're saying, think that through. Think through what you're doing here. Why does that make sense? And doesn't have to make sense to them because they're a foolish person, and a foolish person lives in that anger and keeps a hold of that rage, and it's always, you just never know when it's going to happen. Pattern of a foolish person. Goes on. Another one. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Another pattern of a foolish person is this, they live in the past. And this can go in a couple of ways. It's kind of like, oh, it was so good back then, it's so bad today. And so they're always, everything's negative. They just cannot see positive. They have the glass half empty because, you know, life was better. But it's another way that it impacts them, always looking back as well, is they're stuck in something that has happened. And so it's constant fear. It's constant, you know, can't move past this, constant negativity. The shoe fell once, so it's going to fall again. I know it, and so I'm not going to do this. I'm not. And he says, that is a foolish pattern to be in, to get into a place where you're stuck in the past and it's dominating your thinking. And because of it, you can't move forward. You can't look forward. You can't see life as anything but pretty miserable. And he says, that's the pattern of a fool. Now, I want you to know, this is an inclusive list. He's just getting us started on this. But it comes from this whole discussion and is of these patterns show up. They're another example of someone who has pushed God out of the picture. And it's still in this context where and because they push God out of the picture, they fall for these foolish patterns in their life, thinking that wealth's going to be the answer, so I want it now, and it's not the answer. Thinking that things should happen their way, and because things don't happen my way, I have a right to be angry. Whatever the case may be, and he says, so they push God out, and this is one of the signs, is they become a fool. Probably the most tragic verse about this, and I don't have it on there, is in Romans chapter 1, where he says, they confessing to be wise, they become fools, because they look at creation and the design of creation around them and how things function together and the planets are in line, and we can, you know, they're talking about now sending a person in 4 years to Mars. How could we even contemplate that? Because there's design. They can shoot the rocket off here, and they know in 4 years where it will be. Now, I'm not going to sign up for the trip, just so you know. But they look at that, and instead of saying God, they come up with, they worship the creation itself. It's all about the creation. And he says, that's foolish because you're rejecting the God who loves you and who has provided a way for you to live forever. Okay, what's the opposite? What does wisdom do for us? And he doesn't really go in at this point. He will in a moment. But first of all, he says, let me tell you what wisdom does for us. Verses 11 and 12. First of all, wisdom is like an inheritance. He says, a person who is caught on to wisdom is constantly storing for themselves this inheritance that no one can take from them. Now, one reason we are told in other passages of Scripture is because they're living for God, and so there's this inheritance being stored up from, and no one can touch it. He says, not only that, a person who is wise, their wisdom, the way it impacts them is it makes their life good. And that's what that good means. It's life just is good for them. It's wholesome. That's what's involved there. A person who's wise they get benefits from that wisdom. It produces in their life. It brings them good things. Their wisdom. A person who is wise finds out that they're being protected. They're sheltered from bad things that can happen. A person who is wise will discover that that wisdom will preserve their life. This is what it does for us. So where do I get this wisdom? Well, the indication is right here in this verse. And remember this conversation began way back in the beginning where Solomon says, I'm going to look at life under the sun. Remember what that meant? With God pushed out of the picture, as if there is nothing else out there. It's this life, and that's it. And I'm going to look at life from that vantage point and see if I can find satisfaction in this life, pushing God out of the picture. Well, notice what he comes to in this verse, because he says, this wisdom comes from those who see the sun. They have brought God back into the picture. They're looking past that. They're saying, no, there is God. And not only do they see God and welcome him into their life, but here's where Solomon ends. He says, in conclusion, consider what God has done. First of all, who can straighten what he has made crooked? I mean, a fool tries to push against the plan of God. I don't want to do it that way, God. I don't like, I want it this way. I want to have that now. So they're constantly pushing against the plan of God because they don't want to answer to God. They don't want him to be in control of their life. And you can't fight God. You know, the analogy I remember years ago, this guy gave to me, I think one of my teachers says, it's kind of like a train that says, I don't want to go on the track. Well, maybe not, but you're going to be pretty miserable not on the track because there's a design. That's where you're going to get. And it's the people that say, I don't want God. He says, what, you think you can make what God has made crooked straight? You don't have that power. He goes on. He says, when times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider. God has made one as well as another. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. What he's basically saying here is, here's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from trusting God. Trusting God. Things you look at good in your life, recognize that God has done that for you. Things that maybe to you feel like they're bad, recognize God has allowed them to happen, and you want him to spell out the future? Well, no, he knows the future, but you won't know the future. You have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. Do I trust you, God? Do I trust you? Because that's what we're down to, is whether I trust my God or not. And what can cause me to trust God that much that I say, I'm abandoning my own foolish thoughts and patterns and directions, and I'm placing all my confidence in you, God? Well, what could do that for us is recognizing how much he loves us. And that's why we share in communion. And somewhere deep inside this desk, I have some. There we go. Because this is that reminder that God loves us. First of all, he loves us enough that he allowed his body to be tortured, beaten, disfigured, all at the hands of very evil men who thought that they could stop the plan of God, that they could make straight what God had made crooked, and they're going to fail miserably for this our sake. And so he allowed himself to be beaten so that he could bring for us salvation, eternal life, and we eat the bread together. And then he took the cup and he said, penalty of sin is death. Because I love you, am going to step up and take my death, your death, on my shoulders. I'm going to die in your place so that you can be forgiven and have eternal life. And so a loving God made that provision for us, and we drink the cup together. Got a foolish pattern going on in your life right now? You identified it in that list, or maybe it wasn't even in one of those. It's like, oh no, I got my own list, Paul. That's the area of my life where I don't trust God. I pushed him out. I'm not relying on him. I don't believe he can handle this. Well, it's time to shut down that pattern and trust God, who loves you so much that he's done everything that needed to be done for not only this life for you to trust him, but the fact that you can trust him for your eternal life. That's how much he loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that love. Thank you for the wisdom of this book. And Lord, unfortunately, I've identified some of those patterns in my life. And there have been those times where I've fallen right into exactly what you said through Solomon that a fool looks like. So, Lord, I'm so grateful that you are also a gracious God and a merciful God, and I've experienced that grace. Those times when you did not allow me even to receive the consequences of my foolish decisions, things that should have gone really wrong for me, but you and your love protect me. Thank you for that, Lord. But thank you especially for that reminder that you're the ones in control. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to rely on world events, politics, powers out there. I know who's in charge. And I know that he loves me. He's clearly made that identified on the cross and by the provision he's made for my eternity. So I can relax and trust you. Lord, help us all to be able to do that. And there's where we'll find wisdom. Thanks for that reminder. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Well, church, would you stand? Let's sing one last chorus together.
Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Yes, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as.
One more time.
Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Yes, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Church, have a great week. If you can come out Wednesday night at 6:30, that'd be great. Otherwise, have a great week. We'll see you next time.